I think what they should have said is this is climate change. That would have made more sense. Climate change.
Talking about climate change, they do have a couple of clips.
Okay.
Now, this is a clip. It's a great clip. The problem is, and it was sent to me, and we can't find the source of it, but it's obviously some TV interview show in Australia. And people listening to this, I would like to get the source. I'd like to know who the interviewer is and who the woman is.
Okay.
And she's a woman that worked in government, and she was in environmental, it wasn't the EPA, but she worked for one of the Australian legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And she's kind of an expert. And this information, I was starting to think about what she has to say here. And I have to say, oh, you know, what she say has to be true. And here we go.
And effect.
Oops, sorry.
You used to work for the federal government.
I did, yeah, for 7 years.
Doing what?
I was policy advisor for a Liberal Party senator. The area that I was working in was renewable energy. And basically, it was my job to uncover a lot of the stuff that was going on with the Renewable Energy Act, which was put in 2002 under the Howard government. So that was the Liberal Party put the act in place. And I was looking at the mess that it had created. And what a lot of people don't understand is that the Renewable Energy Act creates a subsidy environment where if you build wind turbines, you're paid between $600,000 and $900,000 per turbine per year.
I heard this too.
As a subsidy alone.
Well, if it's on your property.
No. So what happens is the wind company comes in and they pay a lease to the farmer to build the wind turbines, and that in effect makes sure that the farmer is still liable for the turbine.
Okay.
And they pay a lease of $12,000 a year usually, and the company gets paid between $600,000 and $900,000 per turbine per year.
So they pay $12,000 to the farmer, but they get $600,000.
Exactly.
Per turbine.
Yeah.
Which is a big incentive to put in turbines.
Yeah, and the landowner takes the liability for the turbine.
So he gets $12,000 a year, but if anything happens to it, he's got to fix it. Or she's got to fix it.
Yeah, when they catch on fire,
they're
responsible for their neighbour's properties going up in smoke.
Yeah, I saw. Was I sent this clip as well? I remember this. And for some reason,
I think you got
been floating around.
I think you also got it sent. No, it got sent to you and me.
Hmm. Huh.
So let's go to part two. Now, part two is actually, I think, is even more interesting because it brings to mind the consideration of the laws of physics.
And effectively, that money, the subsidy that's getting paid to the wind farms, is reaming $40 billion a year out of the Australian economy.
Oh, yeah.
And it's paid by everyone, every pensioner, householder, schools, hospitals, everyone. It's not just out of your tax, it comes out of your power bill.
Is this why power bills are going up?
Yeah, that's why power
bills. So our power bills are going up to pay for wind turbines that don't work.
Exactly.
And why don't they work?
So they don't work because, for a start, they draw power off the grid, so they have to have coal-fired power in order to turn.
It's my
they're not
part.
Windmills, they're turbines. And essentially...
Sorry, what do you mean? The power to turn. So when we see them turning, that's not the wind, that's the power generator turning.
Essentially, they have to draw power off the grid, so they have to draw coal-fired power off the grid in order to turn. And what happens when the wind picks up, they do actually start to create electricity of their own, but that electricity is so intermittent and unreliable, when it gets back to the grid, it has to be balanced on the grid, which you can't do. And like with your coal-fired power station, you can't ramp your coal-fired power stations up and down. So the coal-fired power station stays at the same level because it takes 24 to 48 hours for them to get up to heat anyway, and they just let off steam as the wind comes onto the grid. So there's absolutely nothing about them that works apart from reaming that amount of money out of the Australian economy, and it's going offshore.
I think this lady is dead. They killed her.
So I was thinking about it because those big giant turbines that you'll see nowadays. They're huge.
Everywhere. Yeah.
The wind can't get those things going. There's no way physically possible.
So I didn't
they
realize.
They have to be turned on.
They got
to
be kickstarted. They need a little booster.
They got to be beyond kickstart. They have to be spinning to a point where the wind can actually contribute to the force that's used to make them spin around. It, just the laws of physics can tell you that if those things are just staying, if they're just standing there with those big blades, you can't get those blades to move with just a, with a 30 mile an hour breeze or 40 even. And you have to start them yourself.
I wish more people understood what's going on. I mean, I have bumped into so many people in Holland who are all in on this. No, wind is good. You know, it's good. It really makes sense. You know, we've been using windmills since the 1400s. Yeah, but
I had
different kind of windmill.
On a radio show I did Real Computing years ago, I had the father, that was an interview show, I had the father of modern wind power who did all those blades that you see in the Altamont Pass and in Palm Springs, you know, the small ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had, I had a lot of very interesting chat with him. And I would like to, I got to find, do some research and find out who that guy is again, because I have to ask him about these
Don't worry,
big blades.
He's dead. He's not going to be, they've killed them all. I mean, it's just like right now, these fires, and there's a lot of talk about the fires all over Europe. This is State of Fear by Michael Crichton. This is exactly.